How many believe that prayer works? It works. Wait a minute. Prayer works if you work it. If you don't work it, it don't work. Look at your neighbor and say, prayer works. Look at your neighbor and say, if you don't work it, it won't work. It's not going to work if you don't work it. Prayer works if you work it. But if you don't work it, it's not going to work. That's what I'm preaching on this morning, is prayer works if you work it. How many believe that God answers prayer? Oh, yes, He does. How many got a need today that you need to take to the Lord in prayer? Yeah, I believe there's a lot of us today that got something on our heart. And we know that God answers prayer according to His will and for His glory. Prayer works if you work it. But it doesn't work if you don't work it. You know, speaking of working and not working, I heard about a man that every time he went fishing, he'd load up a boat full of fish. I mean, he loved to fish, and he would catch a boatload every time he went. Folks couldn't understand, how in the world is he catching all these fish? And finally, one man said, I tell you what, I'll go with you. He invited everybody to go fishing with him if they wanted to. And finally, one man decided he'd go with this particular successful fisherman. And little did he know that the man was a game warden. But anyway, he went with this man fishing. And so they got in the boat. They went out. And the game warden noticed the man didn't have a fishing pole. He had a tackle box. And he had a few supplies down in his boat. But he didn't have a fishing pole. So he made his way out into the lake. He stopped a certain place. He put his anchor out. He opened up his tackle box. He pulled out a stick of dynamite. He lit it. He threw it up in the air. And boom! As it hit the water, fish came all up from the water on the surface. He scooped them up and put them in the boat. About that time, the man that was sitting in the boat that went fishing with him, who was a game warden, he began to reach in his back pocket to pull out his badge. And about that time, the fisherman opened up his tackle box again. He grabbed his stick of dynamite. He lit it. He handed it to the man sitting there. And he said, look, are you going to fish or are you just going to sit there? All right. And you're just going to sit there. Are you going to fish? I want you to know, when it comes to prayer, you can't just sit there. Prayer works if you work it. I'll tell you what, there's hardly a time, there's hardly a day, really there's hardly a week that passes by that we all don't need to draw near to God. Now, any old prayer I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about the kind of prayer that God answers. That is, the conditions with a clean heart and clean hands and praying in the name of Jesus. Not a generic God, I'm glad, praise the Lord, our God is Jesus and we need not be ashamed of. He's Jesus, and there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, that's the first prayer you need to pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. People use the word prayer so loosely today. Even the lost world uses the element of prayer. But I want you to know, according to the Bible, namely in John 9, Jesus said he does not hear, God does not hear the sinner's prayer until they say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm glad that I did that one time. Have you done that? Oh, more than one time, may I add. But prayer. Oh, yes, prayer works if you work it. I was at the hospital this week, for example, up at the Piedmont Hospital in Atlanta. I was sitting there in this particular seat. I'd sat at this particular seat in the waiting room numerous times. As a matter of fact, my mind flashed back to a little over about a year ago. I was sitting in that very same seat in this waiting room over at Piedmont Hospital when one of our men's dad went to be with the Lord. But this particular occasion was on Wednesday afternoon, and I was sitting there as Gail was having her surgery, knee surgery, went back to pray with her. I noticed a man came and sat right next to me. This man was perhaps from Korea or somewhere of another nationality. And this man, as he sat at this particular seat, some of his family was on the other side of the waiting room. I noticed this man, now listen to me, I noticed this man, he all of a sudden in this two chairs, he put his feet up in the chairs. He turned his face toward the wall. I could not see him. We were on the back. I was actually in the corner of this waiting room. He turned his face to the wall, and God being my witness, he just began to cry. I could see his whole body shaking as he cried. I could hear him sniffing, and he just kept on crying for at least 5 minutes. My heart went out to the man. He could not speak English, but you know what? The Lord moved on my heart, and as I was sitting in this waiting room, and the Lord just moved in my heart to go over there and put my hand on his shoulder and pray for him. He probably didn't understand a word that I said, but how many believe that God answers prayer? Prayer, the need to pray. And I've got a feeling there's some of us today that need prayer. I'll tell you what, you're going through some things now, and you're facing some difficulties now, and you've got some hardships, and you've got some decisions to make, and prayer works if we work it. Are you going to pray today? Are you going to work prayer? Are you going to let God answer the prayer? Are you going to draw near to God and let him draw near to you? Or are you going to leave today with that prayer burden on your heart? Are you going to leave today with that anxiety hanging over your head? That need that you just need to take to God in prayer. Prayer works if you work it. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a wonderful passage of scripture today. And I'm praying. Listen, beloved, here's what I'm asking the Lord to do as we conclude our service in a little while. I'm going to challenge you. I believe God wants to challenge all of us to stretch us a little bit in our prayer life. I'm going to ask you, some of us need to be willing, watch this, to rededicate our life to this matter of prayer. Not just when we're going on a mission trip, not just when we're facing surgery at a hospital, not just when somebody calls us and asks us to pray, but how about this? How about, let me challenge you, will you take the challenge today to say, Lord, I'll dedicate my time in the morning to spend at least 10 minutes in prayer, at least 15 minutes in prayer. Some say 30 minutes in prayer. Some of you could spend an hour in prayer. The quality time, you be the judge of that versus the quantity time. But there's some of us, we get up and we go straight to work, or we get up and we go off, and then all of a sudden we forget, you know, I hadn't really been communing with my Heavenly Father. That's the purpose of prayer, is to be in fellowship with God the moment we wake up in the morning. I want to challenge you today, and that's going to take some courage on your part. Those of us that know we do not have not disciplined those daily habits of prayer, not only praying in the morning, but I'll tell you what, when you get in touch with God and in step with God and in tune with God in the morning, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God keeps us in touch all day long. There's a lot of Christians I've noticed in this world that they are frustrated as they go on Monday morning. They're excited on Sunday, but they're down in the valley, down in the dumps on Monday. I've got to go to work today. How many know that the God of Sunday, he's still God on Monday? Somebody say amen. I'm telling the same God that we serve on Sunday, he's still God on Monday. And you can go and be a world changer. Yes, you can turn the world upside down. I want to encourage you to go a little further in this element of prayer. There's some mamas and daddies, I'm looking at you right now, that you know you've kind of got slack when it comes to praying for that son and praying for that daughter. There's some grandparents today that you're kind of troubled about what's going on in your family, and God's saying you don't have to be anxious about it. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Just put this burden on the Lord. I'm telling you, God's calling us to go a little further as a church. Prayer works if you work it. Let's say it together. Prayer works if you work it. One more time. Prayer works if you work it. If you don't work it, it's not going to work. If you don't work it, it's not going to work. Oh yes, God is still good. But wait a minute, there's four pieces that need to come together in this puzzle today that's going to bring a completeness. In fact, it's going to bring some changes in some of our lives that we know deep down inside we're not as close to the Lord as we ought to be. And here are the four parts as we take our Bibles and we get ready to turn to the passage. Here are the four parts. Let me go ahead and give them to you, those of you that like to take notes. Number one, how does God work through prayer, the power of prayer? How does God work through the power of prayer? Number two, not only how does God work through the power of prayer? Number two, when does God work through the power of prayer? When does God work through the power of prayer? We'll see some definite principles laid out in the Holy Scriptures in regards to prayer. Prayer. Hey, by the way, I want the Lord to teach me to pray. How many want the Lord to teach you to pray? Lord, teach me to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. But oh, listen, it's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to do it. Yes, it is. Number three, not only how does God work through prayer, and when does God work through prayer? Number three, what does God work through prayer? I like that part. What does God work through prayer? And then number four, And finally, where does God work? Through prayer. You got your Bibles with you. Take them, please, and turn to that great book called the Book of... Wait a minute. It's about a man who there's nothing mentioned negative about him in the Bible. Matter of fact, we spent a year studying this particular book, although I must confess we didn't really zero in on this particular passage, and the Spirit of God has led me back to it today. It's none other than the Book of Daniel. Prayer works if you work it. Turn, please, to Daniel chapter 2, and if you would, stand to your feet as we read Daniel chapter 2, and we begin reading in verse number 16. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 16 following. Keep your Bibles open. By the way, the Lord leads me to share with you as we go along in the message. I'm giving you the main points. I'm giving you something to think through, something to stay engaged, something to stay focused on. And if you'll stay alert, and if you'll ask the Holy Ghost of God to keep you zero in, we'll go by each one of these unless the Holy Spirit of God changes our mind. All of what I've outlined to you today, this is what God gave me to give to you. I didn't read it in the book. I didn't hear anybody else preach it, but the Spirit of God gave me this to give to you, and I'm believing there's going to be some breakthroughs this morning. How does God work through prayer? And number two, when does God work through prayer? Number three, what does God work through prayer? And number four, where does God work through prayer? I'm believing that God is going to take us higher than we've ever been today. I'm believing that God's going to take us a little deeper in our spiritual walk with Him. How many want to grow further and more intimate with the Lord? Do you really? Are you a casual Christian? Do you want to just come and give God lip service on Sunday morning and not be changed during the week? If you're one of those Christians that you're casual and you're just uncommitted, then I want you to know you might as well go to sleep right now. You're not going to get anything out of the message. This is for serious Christians. This is for those who really want to see God stretch forth His hand of power in your life and believe by faith that God is able. In the book of Daniel chapter 2, as we begin zeroing in on verse 16, let me quickly give you a little background. You're well aware of where Daniel is at. You're well aware of what has happened to Daniel. You're well aware of Daniel's response to what has happened. In fact, let me just tell you real quickly as we begin reading in Daniel chapter number 2. It just so happens that the Babylonian Empire had invaded the kingdom, southern kingdom of Judah. The year was 605 BC. It just so happens that these Daniel, along with his three buddies, we'll name them in just a moment, but hang on that thought for a moment, that they were taken from their homeland into a foreign land, some 900 miles away. By the way, Daniel is just a teenager at the time. He's probably 15, some say, or 16, when he's taken to a foreign land. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment, but let's zero in chapter number 2, and let's begin reading in verse 16. If you're there, say amen. Prayer works if you work it. One more time, let's say it together. Prayer works if you work it. If you don't work it, it's not going to work. Verse 16, then Daniel went in. That is, he went into the king. The king had cooled off a little bit. He was red hot. Daniel went in and desired of the king, who? Nebuchadnezzar, that he would give him time. I want you to take your little pen or your little pencil and underline that word time. Are you with me? I'll tell you what helps me. When I'm listening out there and somebody else is preaching, if I'm taking notes, it helps me to stay engaged. That's why I take time to tell you. But whereas if I don't take notes, my mind has a tendency to wander. All right? Look at verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him what? Time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Verse 17, then Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. By the way, that is the Chaldean / Babylonian name for those three Hebrew boys, otherwise known as Shadrach. Hit me out. Meshach. And Abednego, all right? You know their names in the English, but this is their Babylonian name. In verse number 18, look what Daniel and his three buddies are fixing to do. Verse 18, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven. concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. What are they talking about? It just so happens that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he don't know what the dream means. How many have ever had a dream and you didn't know what it was? How many are glad that you didn't know what it was? All right. How many ate pizza the night before and you had a bad dream? All right. But anyway, Daniel had been given this ability to interpret dreams, and that is interpret visions. We read that from chapter 1 and verse 17, that Daniel had been given the supernatural ability by God to interpret visions. And furthermore, those three buddies of his had the ability, may I add, God-given ability, to have knowledge and wisdom. All right, keep reading. That's what they're talking about right here. Look at it in verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. That is, it was not in a dream as in night sleeping, but in a vision. He was awake, most believe. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Prayer works if you work it. Look at verse 21. And he, I like this part, he changed it. He's talking about God. Daniel's talking about God. He said he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and sets up kings. He giveth knowledge to the wise and knowledge to them that are no understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Look at verse 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God. The word for God there is not Jehovah. Rather, it's the word Elohim. Say it with me. Elohim. One more time. Elohim. That is the mighty sovereign God, also used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jehovah means that self-existing God. Interesting, the Spirit of God used the word Elohim. Again, verse 23. And I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said. May God bless it to our heart as we pray together. Father, thank you for drawing us nearer to you today. Lord, I want you to teach me how to pray. Lord, I want you to anoint me how to pray. Oh, God, I pray there's so many burdens we have today, so many cares we have today, so many problems we got today, that, God, we can't bear under the load. But we thank you, Father God. You created us, and you told us to come to you and cast our burden on you. And I pray, God, that you'll help us. Mamas and daddies here, and grandparents, teenagers, and young people, and husbands and wives and workers, God, that are troubled today and have some need today. Oh, Father God, stretch us out. Lord, enable us in these days to rise above the winds and the circumstances of this wicked world. Oh, blessed God, we ask you, Father God, to give us a listening ear as we cry to heaven. I'm asking, Father, for clean hands, a pure heart today, that you'll search me and cleanse me. And I pray that, Father, for all of us today, that God, when we get with you, that Lord, you'll change us, and not only change our circumstances, but change us, and we expect you to do it. Lord, I thank you for the answered prayers. As I look back on my life, Lord, you've sure been good. I know I don't deserve it, Father, but you've answered so many prayers, and I'm by faith believing, God, our Father, you've got much more for us. And the church said, Lord, we love you now and give you praise, all that you're up to. And we join together in the name of Jesus when all's said and done. And I pray now for not only the balm of Gilead to be extended, for healing to take place today, spiritually and physically and emotionally, but God our Father, more so that souls will get to Jesus and lives are dear God will experience your resurrection power. Be forgiven. Thank you for saving me and loving me. And I bless you now. What you're going to do in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. You know where we're going, don't you? I said, you know where we're going, don't you? You know exactly where we're going.
There are four parts that's going to come together just like a puzzle as we look at the Word of God today. And here are the four parts. Number one is found in verse 16. How does God work through prayer? Verse 16, how does God work through prayer? Number two, when does God work through prayer? That's found in verse 17. And then number three, what does God work through prayer? That's found in verse 18. And then number four, where does God work through prayer? That's found in verse 19 through 23. Number one, as we journey, prayer works if you work it. It will not work if you don't work it. And I tell you what, God is challenging us today to go a little further in this matter, to intercede, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. More things are wrought than through prayer than the world ever dreamed. I think it was Tennyson who once said that. A.C. Dixon once said, with prayer we get what God can do, but without prayer we get what man can do. How many want to see what God can do? Yes, Lord, we know that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, yes, God's able to rise and the enemies be scattered. God's able to move the mountains. God's able to calm the storms. Our Lord, He hadn't lost an ounce of power. He knows where you're at. Thanks be to God, He's ordained that we should walk right where we're at today. And how many know that His grace is sufficient? Will you thank Him right now that His grace is sufficient? I said, will you praise Him right now that His grace is sufficient? Will you just say, Lord, you know where I'm at. He knows my ways. When He tried, master, come forth like gold. Number one, how does God work through prayer? I want you to look again in verse 16 of the text. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 16 of the text. How does God work through prayer? Look at it. Daniel of old said this. The Spirit of God put on him in verse 16. Then Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him, keyword, time. And that he would show the king the interpretation. I want you to follow with me for a moment. You do know that this old pagan king named Nebuchadnezzar called in his soothsayers, his astrologers, his magicians, and his fortune tellers. He had a dream and he was troubled. He wanted to know about this dream, but he couldn't tell what it was all about. Well, these so-called wise men had not the foggiest idea as to what the dream was, number one, nor what the interpretation was. You know what the king said to these men? He said, I want you to tell me what my dream was first, and then I want you to tell me the interpretation of a dream. He said, what do you mean? How can we tell you of what dream you dream? I don't know what dream you dream. You know what dream they dream? I don't know what dream they dream. You know what dream? I don't know what dream they dream. And the king said, it's over if you don't interpret my dream. Now you need to know there's a man named Arioch who was a captain of the king's court, and Arioch had instructions. Kill them. If they don't know the interpretation, if they can't tell you the dream, their history, right? And so Daniel hears about this, and you need to know that Daniel had some convictions. Wait a minute. I want to preach for a moment to some people here today, to us today. We live in a pagan society. Somebody say amen. I don't think we're far from Babylon. Hello? And yet Babylon had a pagan king. I want you to know that Daniel lived godly. Daniel didn't compromise his conviction. Daniel made a difference. Daniel was a man of God. And if Daniel could do it, hallelujah, you can do it too. Don't you buy into the devil's lie that, oh, our society is so wicked and so sinful that I can't live for God and I can't be holy and I can't make a difference. Wrong. Daniel, watch him now. He's 15 years old. How many of you are 15 or younger in the crowd? Raise your hand. 15 or younger, raise your hand. All right, 15 or younger. Can you imagine being in Babylon? Can you imagine being in the king's court? Can you imagine the pressure? Can you imagine the responsibility? And yet Daniel dared to stand alone. He dared to have a purpose true. He dared to make it known. And I can see Daniel right now. He goes to the captain and he says, hey, I don't know the interpretation, but I know this. God, the God that I serve, if He wants me to know the interpretation, He'll give it to me. Would you do that, young people? I need to back up and tell you for a moment. Do you know what he already had done? The king wanted him to drink that wine and to eat that meat that was offered to idols. Oh, was Daniel going to do it? Nobody had known about it. There was nobody that was there looking over his shoulder other than God. Oh, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God knows everything when we go home and the secret recesses of our being. No, yes, God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And there was Daniel. And Daniel said, no, I'm going to appeal to... Wait a minute, I want to share something. I need to share it with you. How many are working... Now, I'm not saying this critically. How many are working with a boss or some people that you know are not saved, not Christians? Let me see your hand. All right, probably a lot of us. Wait a minute. Can you actually submit to a boss, one that's in authority over you with a clear conscience and obey the will of God without compromising? Daniel did, and you can too. Can you hear me? I said, Daniel did, and you can too. He was wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Oh, yes, Daniel understood to appeal to the king. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat or the king's wine. Oh, no, I'm not going to compromise my conviction as a Jewish boy. I will not put that in my body. No, no, I'm not going to eat that. Well, did God honor that? Yes. Daniel said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a creative alternative. How about if I use this diet instead of the diet you got? And then 3 years, he was in a time of testing. Could it be, beloved, that people are watching you on your job? You claim to be a Christian. How many are Christian? Let me see your hand. You claim to be a Christian. What is your testimony on your job? What kind of lifestyle do you portray to your fellow workers? Oh, I've got to tell you something. I was thinking about this yesterday. If... tomorrow on your job, would there be enough evidence to convict you that you were a Christian? Has there been enough evidence in your life that people can look at you and tell you're a Christian? Are you any different than the world? Do you blow up instead of show up at work? I'm telling you, there's a difference, and the world needs to see the difference Jesus makes in our lives. Somebody say amen. It's not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And Daniel passed the test. No wonder Daniel had favor of God. No wonder Daniel had an excellent spirit. No wonder he learned to come under authority. He learned to live a life above moral impurity. He learned to live a life of humility. No wonder he understood God's sovereignty. No wonder he was able to face adversity in Daniel chapter 6. And no wonder God gave him the victory. By the way, if you read the book of Daniel, you need to note this. Are you ready to write this down? Read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Skip over chapter 5 and 6. And then go to chapter 7, 8. Go back to chapter 5 and 6. And then finish up with chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. Did you get that? Hello. I said go to chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Skip over 5 because there's a great big span of time, historically speaking. 1, 2, 3, 4. Go to 7, 8. And then go back to 5 and 6. And then finally finish up as you read the book of Daniel, chronologically speaking. 9, 10, 11, and 12. If you got it, say amen. Prayer works if you work it. But prayer doesn't work if you don't work it. Number one, how does God work and answer the prayer? I can see Daniel right now. Can you see him? I can see him as he goes back to those three boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Hey, man, the king's had a dream. Magicians, soothsayers, astrologers, they can't figure it out. Well, Daniel, do you know what the dream is? No, I don't. But I wonder, I believe the God in whom we serve, I believe he's able to give us the interpretation of the dream. I believe he's able to give us interpretation of the dream. I can hear him as he tells Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael. How many believe that God can do anything but fail? Do you got confidence in God? Do you have confidence in God? Do you believe the Lord? You believe he's able? Oh, yes, he's well able. And there... learn this. Here's what I want to get. Number one and number two. There are two. How does God work through prayer? How does God work through prayer? Two ways. And you'll note it this way. Are you ready for it? If you're ready, say amen. In his time, number one. And number two, for his glory. You get it? In his time, number one. And number two, for his glory. How many believe that God works on his timetable? Hey, look, he's not constrained by my little old watch right here.
God don't work on your timetable. He don't work on my timetable. He works on His timetable. Oh, that's where we have problems. That's where we get impatient. Am I preaching to somebody today? You've been wondering why you hadn't heard the answer. You've been wondering why the breakthrough hadn't come. And God's saying, not on your timetable, but on my timetable. And we get impatient. We give up. We say, well, God, I might as well stop praying. And you just give in and throw in. No, don't do that yet. Speaking of impatient, I was at Walmart the other day and I saw a man. I saw a man that was pushing a buggy. And this man pushing this buggy, I could hear him saying to his little grandson in there, 2 years old, I could hear him talking, saying, now, George, calm down. George, calm down. This little grandson was all over the place, jumping out of the buggy, jumping back in the buggy. George, calm down. George, be still, George. We'll be home shortly. Calm down, George. And then, oh, I saw him on another aisle, and he had his grandson and was saying the same thing. And George, calm down, George. We'll be home shortly. George, we'll be there. Just calm down. George was grabbing everything on the aisle. No, George, put it back. Put it back. We can't get that. And finally, the man went up to the checkout counter. The lady came up to him and said, man, I tell you what, I admire you. I respect you. I saw how patient you were with little George. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate that. The man looked at the lady and said, ma'am, you don't understand. He's not George. I'm George. You've been there too, haven't you? Hello. God works on His timetable. He's not on our timetable. Yeah, you've been there too. In His time. Look at your neighbor saying, His time. Yeah. Listen, prayer works if you work it. If you don't work it, it won't work. God works on His timetable. Oh, yes, be still and know that I'm God. I've exalted among the heathen. I've exalted in the earth. God works on His timetable. Yes, He does. But wait a minute. He works for His glory. We find that in verse 23. I want you to take a little spiritual inventory for a moment. Are you ready? Can you think back to the prayers God has answered in the past? I want to see your hand if you can think of one prayer that God, two prayer, come on, three prayers, come on, four prayers that God, come on, do a little reminiscing, go down memory lane, go back and see that God has answered prayer, that God is good, and the Lord knows our need, and we can trust Him today. You know our problem? We have spiritual amnesia. We forget all that God has done. Matter of fact, we're like that crowd over there in Psalm 78. There's a crowd over there in Israel, and you know what they did? God gave them food, manna from heaven, angels' food. Their shoes didn't wear out. And He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, the good hand of God was on them. But you know what? They forgot God. They forgot all the blessings of God. They forgot about how He parted the Red Sea. Aren't we so prone to forget all God's done in the past? We are, and I pray God will remind you today. Reminds me of this dear man that called up this lady. I had the privilege of going to Alzheimer's unit every Thursday and sharing the word of God. This dear man called up this lady, elderly senior adult. He was well up in his 90s, and he called this senior adult lady. He said, ma'am, she answered the phone, hello. He said, I just got something I need to ask you. She said, what is it? He said, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. How many know that you get a little forgetful minded as you get a little years on you? Somebody say amen. He said, I can't remember. He said, I'll tell you, I asked you to marry me, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but today when I woke up, I could not remember what you said. And she said, wow, I sure am glad you called. I knew somebody asked me to marry him, but I couldn't remember who it was. Hey, don't get that way, all right? Hey, don't get that way. Don't get that way. God works on His timetable for His glory. How many get to thinking about how good God's been to you? Is there anybody here that says, Lord, you sure have saved my soul. You sure have changed me and given me a heart. I'm about to start preaching. You wash my sins away. I don't see them anymore. You don't remember them anymore. They're in the depths of the sea. You wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life from eternity past. You seal me with your spirit until the day of redemption.
protection. You provided my daily bread. You walk with me every day. Your angels are all around me. Surely goodness and mercy is following me. And one day when I pass from this life in the life to come, I'm going to lay aside this old earthly robe of clay and be escorted in glory, and I'm going to enjoy throughout all eternity singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." You sure been good to me, God. You sure been good to me. Thank you, Lord. There's a second part that comes together in the puzzle, is this, namely, not only what, how does God work through prayer? But number two, if you'll notice verse 17, when does God work through prayer? Look at this. Oh, it comes together like a puzzle. Yes, breakthroughs today. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Prayer works if you work it. Let's say it together. Prayer works if you work it. When does God work through prayer? You ready? Two ways. Right here in the text. Number one, when there's unity. You see it? Number one, when there's unity. You see it? And then number two, when there's maturity. I'll tell you what, there's a great need for the saints of God to come together in unity. And a great need for the saints of God to experience maturity. Not drinking the milk anymore. Loving each other, forgiving each other. We got to learn to work together. Amen. Wait a minute. Number one, when does God work through prayer? Not only how does God work through prayer, but when does God work through prayer? Number one, he works through prayer when there's unity. You see what Daniel did? Daniel says, this burden's too heavy for me. I can't tell the king's dream. I don't know the king's dream. I don't know the interpretation. I know this. It's over. It's over. If we don't interpret this dream, we'll be included with them. The guards already said that. How many today have a burden on your heart and on your shoulders you can't bear by yourself? Come on, somebody talk to me. I'm raising my hand. I've got some burdens on my heart. I can't carry them. I'll be honest with you. I can't carry them. You know what I need? I need somebody to help carry the load. There's sometimes those burdens get so heavy you can't carry them by yourself. Daniel says, hey, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, come on. Come on, let's get together. If we can just get together, if we can just get on the same page, if we can just say the same thing together, if we can agree together. I wonder if Daniel had read Jesus saying, if two of you shall agree on earth as to touching anything. If two of you shall agree on earth. Let's say it together. If two of you shall agree on earth. One more time. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for my Father in heaven, where two or three are gathered together, there in the midst of them. By the way, that's Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. I wonder if Daniel had perhaps got a little glimpse of that principle. I know he did. Come on, come on. Can I get anybody in the house of God today to agree with me today to pray? Can I get anybody to pray with me today? Do you need somebody to pray with you today? I said, do you need somebody to pray with you today? How many have got some kind of need, some kind of need for an answer, some kind of need for a breakthrough, some kind of wisdom that you know that only comes from God, some kind of situation you're praying God will change? When does God work through prayer? When there's unity. By the way, let me say this. There's a difference in stopping praying and slowing down in prayer. I'm challenging you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour a day. Okay? Not that you look at your clock to impress God, but I guarantee you the more time you spend in prayer, the harder work it is. And the more you spend with the Lord in prayer and discipline that old flesh that wants to, are you listening? Cut off that telephone, stop that texting, turn the computer off and the television and the radio. Get with God. It'll be hard to do, I know. You'll have withdrawal symptoms, I know. I know you want to reach to your phone. I know you'll think of 10,000 things you need to do, but don't let the flesh win, because when the Spirit wins, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Just say no to the flesh. And there's a difference in stopping and starting. Did you hear about the old man that drove up, old boy that drove up the stop sign? He looked around. He didn't come to full stop, but he headed on through the stop sign. He didn't know there was a police officer right over there in the corner, that he saw the man not really come to a complete stop, but just kind of slowed down and looked around and went through the stop sign. And so the police officer pulled behind him, turned on his blue lights, pulled him over. He said, "Sir, do you know that you didn't stop at that stop sign?" And the man said to him, he said, "Well, I didn't stop. I just kind of looked around. I didn't sense any traffic here, and I just went right through." The police officer said, "That's a stop sign, sir. You're supposed to stop at the stop sign." The man said, "But I slowed down, you know. I just slowed down. I looked here, I looked there, there was no coming. I just went on through." The police officer said, "Sir, there's a stop sign there. It's meant for a reason. You're supposed to come to a stop." The man kept arguing and said, "There's no difference," the man said, "between slowing down and stopping. I just slowed down. I didn't stop." Well, the officer, Brother Bob and Brother Justin, had had enough. He had had it up to here. Finally, the man kept saying, "There's no difference in stopping and starting." So the police officer grabbed him in a headlock. He grabbed this billy club. He started hitting him in the head, and he said, "Do you want me to slow down, or do you want me to stop?" There's a difference. There's a difference. Don't try that, by the way. There's a difference in slowing down and stopping. Somebody say amen. Don't stop praying. Oh no. Listen, prayer works if you work it. Unity and then maturity. It's right there in the text. Number three, and I've got to hurry up. Number three, how does God work through prayer? Secondly, when does God work through prayer? When there's maturity and when there is unity. Very good. Number three, what does God work through prayer? Are you ready for this? You know what the Lord does? Look at verse 18 and 19 of the text. You got to see it. "And they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men." Oh, this was then the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Quickly, how many of you ever had a tire on your car or truck that got low and needed air? Let me see your hand. Here last week, I was heading up to the hospital, and I noticed my left black tire, rear tire, was low. I said, "I better pull in here for to make sure before I get in big town Atlanta." And so I got there, and to the gas station, they said, "Sir, you've got 8 pounds of air in your tire." How many know that's not good? How many know that? Y'all have been reading about me probably on the news, on Fox 5 News. I don't know about that, but I know this. Sometimes we get low. I'm going somewhere. Follow with me. What does God do through prayer? Watch this. Have you ever had a will alignment? Not a W-H-E-E-L, but a W-I-L-L. You know what God does through prayer? He realigns our W-I-L-L. He wants us to get on the same page with Him. Realigns our will. Oh, that's what He does. I know that's what He does. And not only that, but wait a minute. What does God do through the power of prayer? He not only realigns our will. Maybe today, that's what the Lord's wanting in your life, is for us to get on His terms. "Lord, not my way, but Your way." Like the old boy that sat down. I heard about an old boy got down to pray, and he said, "God, I want to get married. Lord, I'm going to get married." He wanted to get married. And he said, "God, I want to get married. And God, I'll take anybody. Lord, I want to get married. And Lord, I want to get married. And I'll get married, Lord, as long as I get married to Sue." That's the way we are. We got our mind made up. Somebody talk to me. I said, we've already got our mind made up. God says, no, I got to realign your will. It might be, wait a minute, it might be that God doesn't want to bring the answer yet, but God's just going to carry you to the fire, and God's going to carry you to the valley, and the Lord is going to refine us, and the Lord is molding us, and he's the potter and we're the clay. The answer hadn't come. The breakthrough hadn't come. But look at the spiritual growth that's taking place. Look at the maturity that God's working in us. Look how we must see Jesus in us. Look how his grace is sufficient. I want you to know God's out to conform us to his image. Oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. But number two, not only will alignment, wait. How about God gives us a fire insurance policy that's out of this world? Where'd I get that, Brother Pastor? If you turned over one chapter, you'd find out in chapter 3, these three boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, same boys. They're out there at the plains of Dura. A 9 feet tall image. And Nebuchadnezzar makes the announcement. Everybody bow down to this idol. When the music plays, everybody on the plains of Dura bow down. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, you going to bend your knee? Tell you what, the world wants us to bow down to their God. If you don't bow down to their God, if you don't cater to their politically correct ideas and philosophies of life, you're going to be thrown in the furnace. I got a call 8:30 this past week on Monday, and a man told me, he said, Pastor, you're not going to believe it. This happened at work, and I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. Guess what? You better get your fire suit on. We're going through some more fires. Them boys didn't bow. Them boys didn't bend. Praise God, them boys didn't burn. Nebuchadnezzar said, you're going to bow down to my idol or else. No, sir, king, we're not going to bow down to your idol. There's one true living God, and we're not going to bow down to your idol. I like what they said. Guess what, king? I like this part. Don't miss it. Even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. Boy, that's a breakthrough right there. See, we want God to deliver us from every little persecution and every little trial. No, even if our God doesn't want, throw them in there, boys. Get that furnace hot. Turn it up 7 times. Put coats on them. Tie their hands and throw them in the fiery furnace. They're going to learn. You bow down when the king says bow down. We don't bow to but one God. Jesus is his name. Throw them in the fire. There they go, one right after another. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there they're in the fire. Oh, I'm telling you, the world's going to throw you in the fire. It's going to throw me in the fire. As we live godly, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. How many know that the fires of persecution are heading your way? You better get your fire suit on. You better get your fire clothes on. I'm glad, thank God, God said, Shadrach, Meshach, you're going to go through the fire. But guess what happened? In the midst of the fire, there he is, the fourth man. Nebuchadnezzar, I can see him as he's rubbing his eyes. Say, wait a minute. I thought we threw three men in the fire, but I'm counting one and two. I see three men, but I see a fourth man. I see a fourth man. He looks like the Son of God. Guess what, Nebuchadnezzar? He is the Son of God, because when the saints of God get in the fires of God, that Jesus, the Son of God, goes with us through the fire. I'd rather be through the fire with Jesus than outside of the fire without him. I'm not talking about belligerent here. I'm not talking about defiance. You know Daniel. And so, I got to quickly be done. And last but not least, prayer works. Help me out, somebody. If you work it. Say it with me. Prayer works if you work it. If you don't work it, it don't work. And last but not least, where does God work through prayer? The answer is found in the last part of that chapter. Verse number 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, and wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the time." I like this. I wish I had time to preach on this for a minute. Verse 21. "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." Oh, I feel like shouting right there. Matter of fact, I think I will. Woo! I said he puts up kings and he puts down kings. Can you hear me today, saints? I said God is in control. I said the White House is not in control. I said the politicians aren't in control. I said God is still in control. And he sets them up and he puts them down. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep things. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, Daniel said. Bring up that image, Katie, just a moment, please. Here's what Daniel saw in this dream. He saw an image. Gold for Babylonian kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He didn't know what it meant. Silver for the Medo-Persian empire. Four world empires. Grecian empire, 330 B.C., under Alexander the Great, iron, that is the Roman Empire, and then the iron and clay, the end times. This is what Daniel saw. This is what Daniel interpreted. I'm telling you what, it's good to know that our God's in control. Prayer works when you work prayer. And then last but not least, I'm telling you where we're heading. I can tell you today without a shadow of a doubt that we're heading to the time when Jesus will come again in the clouds of glory. That's right. What's happening in North Korea and South Korea? What's happening in Iran? What's happening with Russia and NATO right now? All of this is leading up to the time when the Bible says the Son of God is going to step out of the clouds of glory, and there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be pestilences, and in the days of Lot, so shall be the days of the Son, coming of the Son of Man. And but wait a minute, I know how this thing's going to end up. I'm telling you, the Son of God, the bridegroom of the church, he's going to shout, and the bride's going to rise, and the dead in Christ's going to rise, and then there's going to be hell on earth. But that's going to set the stage for the end Antichrist to send out the mark of the beast. But all of that is in the plan of God. It's God who put it in their hands, in their hearts, to fulfill His will. Revelation 17:17. That's paving the way when Jesus comes again in the clouds of glory. Oh, with 10,000 of His saints, and His kingdom is going to be an everlasting kingdom, and nobody can sit on His kingdom. His kingdom rules over all. I'm glad to know. Oh, hallelujah. Today we're on the winning team. I've read the last page. Jesus Christ is in control, and when He gets ready, He's coming back to this earth, and we can, blessed assurance, rest in His promises and exercise faith in Him. And our vision ought to be clear, and our mission ought to be clear, and our strength ought to increase. Oh yes, our heart ought to be encouraged today to know that Jesus lives and is coming again. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.